All right, so last week we talked about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's review those verses, okay, to tie into the next couple verses of where we're going. Now, I had to go to an emergency dentist kind of deal right before I came to church this evening, so if I'm drooling or anything through my service, half my face is still kind of getting its feeling back, so just bear with me and be glad you're not in the front row. If you are in the front row, I'm sorry, all right? But, I want to look at this. We talked last week about trusting God, all right? So we're going kind of in that direction, but a little bit deeper tonight in the verses that we're going to. So let's back up and read 5 and 6, okay? So Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord." Read them with me. "With all your heart, do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." All right, now we dove into those very deep last week. So I'm not going to go into any more explanation on those, but I am going to take you to the very next verse, okay? So grab verse number 7. It says this, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn from evil." Let's read one more, and then we'll come back to verse number 7. It says in verse number 8, "Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones." All right, now listen, you know what these verses can be summed up to say? That if you want physical, emotional, mental strength, if you literally want to find a cure in your life, it comes from your faith in God. It comes through your relationship with your Heavenly Father. You want a life that feels sturdy, established, strong, and able, then you need to have a healthy connection with God Himself. Using that big word, right? Trust. All right? Remember, we said this last week. You cannot trust someone you do not know. All right? And if you don't know Christ, if you don't know God, then you're going to have a hard time trusting Him in certain situations and areas of your life. Matter of fact, there's probably things that you're going through as a believer. Maybe you have given God your heart. Maybe you are a child of God. But if you don't fully trust God in your circumstance, you're going to struggle in your storm. You're going to struggle in these areas of life that get dark sometimes, that are hard to navigate and hard to fully understand, and especially in those situations where you can't fully see what's going to happen next. Anybody else in here kind of on this journey that you have no clue where it's going? You just know God's taking you somewhere. Anybody else have that happen? Anybody going through that storm and you have no clue when it's going to end? All right? And you're just hoping that's going to happen? Anybody like that in the house tonight? You know, you look at that and you realize that, hey, there are things in our lives that we have not seen, things in our lives that we cannot understand. And the only connection that you and I get to hope is through Jesus. And saying, okay, there is one who knows. He knows every storm. He knows every trail. He knows everything that you're traveling on. He has seen not only where you are, but He has seen where you're heading. There is a God that knows how to get you to where you need to be to live in fulfillment and in peace. To get you through the storm, you've got to trust God. To get you to your purpose, you've got to trust God. You've got to get this relationship, like verse number 7 says, it's got to come back to, I'm not going to lean on my own wisdom. I'm not impressed. Matter of fact, write this down. I am not a know-it-all, all right? As some of you would love for your spouse to hear that tonight. All right? I am not, or your teenager, I am not a know-it-all. I do not know everything. As a matter of fact, the day that I, as your pastor, start pretending like I know everything there is to know about God's word, fire me and get a better pastor. All right? Why? I will never fully, truly understand everything there is to know about God. Even the Bible says no one knows every jot and tittle that's in the word. Nobody can get that. Now, am I in a pursuit of that knowledge? Yes. Am I seeking to know more? Yes. Am I trying to grow more? Yes. Why? Because God is my only source of hope. My only source. He's the only consistent that I have in my life. Now, that should be the same for you. It is the same for you. You just should realize that that's the truth for you. God is the only stable relationship you will ever have. Now, by having that stable relationship with God, your relationships with each other get more stable. My relationship with my wife is way better when we're right with God than when we're living opposed to the way God wants us to live. My walk and my relationship as a pastor to the people I'm counseling and ministering to is a whole lot better when I'm in God's word trying to be who God's called me to be. And the Bible says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom, but instead fear the Lord. Now, this isn't talking about an anxiety fear. Matter of fact, How many of you know the New Testament verse? God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now understand that when they use the word fear in the English language here, talking about fear in the Lord, it's not talking about you and I being terrified of God like he's some bug zapper looking at us, the bug, ready to zap us anytime we get off track. That is not who God is. This fear is talking about being in a state of worship, of reverence, of an understanding this, wow, God is incredible. I mean, matter of fact, can anybody stand up here and fully explain eternity? All right, anybody else struggle when you think about living forever? I mean, do you get to that point where you actually, you think all the way into a migraine? I mean, you try to, can anybody in here explain to me how there can be a God that is everywhere? All right, a God that's all-knowing, a God that sees everything. I mean, can you adequately stand and say, let me give you the science and all these ways of that? No, absolutely not. Why? Because God is way above what we could ever imagine. Eternity is way more advanced than you and I could ever comprehend. But do we believe that there is a God? Absolutely. Do we believe that there is an eternity where we will live forever, whether in heaven or hell? Absolutely. But the reality needs to come down to I cannot get to these conclusions on my own. I have to lean on him and realize that, hey, God is just so powerful. And instead of trying to figure out how he's that powerful, accept him and live in a reverence and admonition, a reality of, wow, God is incredible. And that's what the Bible's saying here. All right? I need to realize how good God is. And by doing that, I should turn away from evil. I mean, if you have pure love in your life, why would you ever sacrifice it for temporary? I mean, in all honesty, for any of you debating in your mind, having an affair, think about that. If you've got someone that is stuck by your side, woke up with you, smelled your bad breath in the mornings, done life with you, raised kids with you, and walked through hardship with you, why in the world would you ever leave that to go crawl in bed with someone who does not care about you more than in the moment? You should not ever turn away what is pure for what is temporary and tainted. And he's saying, hey, instead of leaning on your own wisdom, be in this reverent worship of God. And as a result, realizing how much God loves you, realizing how much he cares, turn away from evil. All right, so the Bible literally in these past four verses is asking us to do one simple thing. Trust God with everything. With everything. So I wrote down a few things tonight that I want you to write. What are some things, questions? What do you trust him to do? Well, understand this. You trust him to, number one, to teach you the things that you do not know. Right? How many of you will sit here, and I've said it for you, but how many of you realize that there's a lot about life that you haven't figured out yet? All right, how many of you have children and you sometimes find yourself thinking, what are they thinking? All right, I would ask how many of you have a wife or a husband that way, but I don't want to start marriage problems, all right? But how many times do you sit there, maybe it's even in traffic. You sit there and watch somebody drive and you're like, what in the world are they doing, right? What in the world are they thinking? If you're in the car with that person, get out, all right? But the reality is we don't know a lot. All right, matter of fact, let me give you some areas that I need God to teach me the things that I do not know. Number one, when it has to do with myself, there's a lot about me that I don't know. There's a lot about you that you don't know. Have you ever just been in a bad mood? Anybody ever had that day? Have you ever, let's go beyond. Have you ever just been in a bad mood and had no reason why? We say we got out of bed on the wrong side of the bed, right? So you get back in bed, get out on the other side, and you're still in the same mood, all right? There's nothing you can do to change it, and there's no explanation of it. You know, there needs to be times in my life that I go to God and I say, God, why am I this way? Like, God, why is it that I love you and I care about you and I want to grow in you, yet somehow this one weakness seems to always get me? This one sin seems to always creep back in. God, what is it about me that I need to be made aware of? What flaw is there? What strength is there? What purpose is there that you see? You will never fully understand you till you go through the one who made you to understand it. You'll never know your true potential. You'll never know your true value until you go to your designer and let him teach you why he made you, who you are, where you are, for what he wanted you to do. You got to go to God to understand, number one, the things about us. Number two, I need God to teach me the things that I do not know about himself. The Bible says we see through a glass darkly, right? But it goes on and it says, but one day we'll see face to face. We'll see clearly. We'll have no distraction. Now, look, God never asked that I understand him. And God never asked that I figure him out. God simply asked me to trust him. And Bible says that God will reveal himself to you. God will show you himself. Matter of fact, a lot of people feel like God's some distant thing hiding. No, God is a present help in our time of need. God is here. God is right here in this room. And tonight, he wants to show you something about himself that'll help you learn about yourself. Help you be confident in who you are. Help you be confident in your circumstance. Number three, he needs to teach me the things that I do not know about the world around me. I mean, have you ever wondered why people are the way they are? You ever wondered why some people, no matter how much you try, you just can't make them happy? No matter what you do, you just can't impress, or you just can't get them. You know, the Bible says, and I told Bill, where's Bill? We were talking about this. He's in 1 and 2 Timothy in his studies. I said, I quote 1 Timothy 2 to myself a lot in ministry. And the verse that I quote the most is not the study to show yourself approved. It's the be patient with difficult people, all right? Why? Because without difficult people, you have no ministry. And if you can't be patient with difficult people, you're not making a difference anywhere. And so constantly I'm telling myself, be patient with difficult people. You say, why do you tell yourself that? Because some people, I just want to take their heads and just slam them together and be like, what are you thinking? But I need God to show me, to teach me the things about others that I don't know. You know, behind every face is a story. Have you figured that out yet? Behind every smile is a reason. Sometimes that reason is they're faking it. Behind every person that's ever breathing, in this room, there are so many different stories represented. And the story is not about how you got to church. The story is what made you who you are today. See, we see the kid that always is disruptive in class, where God sees the kid that gets no attention at home. We see the person that's always, always calling or texting, where God sees the person that's sitting in the room crying because they're alone. We see the symptom. Somebody's angry, they're mad, they're closed, they don't talk. Where God sees the affair or the rape that made them the way that they are. And if we're not careful, we start responding to people based on what we see, instead of based on the truth of why they are the way they are. You say, somebody asked me the other day, they said, how can you have such a heartbeat for addicts with all the damage that they do in the world? I said, clear response, here it is. Write this down, you may want to use it. If the damage of the world hadn't damaged them, then maybe they wouldn't be the addict they are today. And if we would simply go back to where they were damaged and start to restore their brokenness, their broken heart, their broken dreams, their broken faith, if we would see their core and realize that the addiction is not the problem, it's the hurts, it's the things behind it, the absence of love. If we would minister to those, addictions are never and will never be our focus. People say, well, you work with people with addiction all the time. No, I work with people that have souls, that have purpose, and have a heartbeat and a love. They were created by their creator to be loved and to go do mighty things. We're not trying to work on their addictions. We're trying to work on their spirit. We're trying to work on their soul. We're trying to make sure that they're secure in Jesus Christ. You see, what I found is we can try to work on people from the outside in and we'll never make a difference. But we get Jesus planted on the inside, and there's nothing like having a spy behind the wall. And he starts working on it, giving us information from the inside out, giving us awareness from the inside. We start seeing who they truly are, and you know what happens? Out of the ashes, beauty comes. You know, can I say this? God never made a mistake, never once made a mistake. And the person that you have already judged and condemned, you actually didn't condemn the person, you condemned the God that created them. You actually said, okay, God, you messed up on this one, and I'm not going to do it. How many of you understand where we are? I need God to teach me those things. Because I didn't walk in here tonight knowing your situation. Some of you came in here and you're happy. Some of you are in love, right? You know, you're sitting by the person that you care about. You know, some of you came in here and you're broken and you're lonely and you're sad. But there's no way that I walked on this stage knowing exactly where you are and who you are tonight. And I pray daily, God, show me the message. Show me the words. Show me the things that they need. Teach me the things about them that I do not know so that I can teach them the things about you that they've never seen or they've never heard. You know, what good would it do if we came to church and there was never any meat to chew on, right? Never anything to grow on. And I don't know about you. I don't want to go to a church like that. I don't want to be a pastor like that. I want to throw out some stuff and say, hey, come feast on God and let's grow together. Let's nourish our souls. Let's nourish our spirit. But that doesn't work unless God is showing me. God is showing you who people are, the things about others that we do not know. All right, so number two, he not only teaches me the things that I do not know. All right, James 1, verse number 5 says that if you lack wisdom, ask your generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you or be upset for you asking. I mean, God's not like your dad was when you were 3 years old. You're asking why, and they're saying, because I said so. You ask God why, and God will show you the reason. God will take his word and eliminate what he wants you to do. He'll illuminate it so that you can get out there and accomplish it. So number two, here's the thing. Not only does he want to show you the things that you do not know, teach you those things, he wants to supply your needs. All right, now listen. I'm going to skip ahead. Philippians 4, verse 19. Write this down. Everyone in this room has emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental needs. Would you agree? I mean, have you ever met the person that you knew had very great mental needs? You ever met the person that you knew needed emotional help? All right? Every one of us in here need those things nurtured. Look at Philippians. It says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply, say the word, all your needs. What? From his what? Glorious riches which have been given to us in... All right, now let me just say this. For all of you that are here tonight that have not implemented Christ Jesus in your life, there's the reason why you don't have the glorious riches supplying all your needs. Matter of fact, we want God like a genie in the bottle, but we don't want God as an actual God that we serve. All right, so we go to God and we'll rub the lamp and we'll say, all right, I need my three wishes. You know, I need this. I need this bill paid. I need this done. But we never live through Jesus Christ. And the Bible's saying here that all these things are supplied to you because of Jesus Christ. And so if you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, that's why life isn't working. That's why your faith isn't working. If you're here tonight and you have Jesus Christ in your heart, but you're living as if he doesn't exist, that's why it is not working. All right? You got to go through Christ. All right, and he takes care of us. He supplies my needs for my relationships. He supplies my needs for my finances, my physical areas. He supplies my needs for my confidence to be able to succeed. God is the ultimate supplier. And why do I need to trust him? Because I need him to teach me the things that I do not know and to supply the needs that I cannot meet. I have learned this. I cannot be everything my wife needs in order for her to feel confident. I cannot know. Matter of fact, I cannot understand the way women think. I can't do it. Any other man in here say, I'm with you? All right, now I've asked this before. How many of you ladies say I'm the same way when it comes to my man? I can't understand how he thinks either. All right, now listen. On my own, there is no way that I can meet her needs. But as I dig into God and God begins to teach me through passages like Ephesians and Colossians, how I'm supposed to love her and how I'm supposed to view her and what I'm supposed to supply for her, then I can become, as God supplies me with the resources, what she needs to know that she's valuable, beautiful, accepted, loved. And matter of fact, let's put it this way. Most women want to feel like they are, and we learned this at men's conference, secure. That they're with a man that's not leaving, a man that's going to provide, a man that's going to work, a man that's going to make sure that he's not losing his temper every 5 minutes and easy on the kids, but still nurturing and helping parent. They want security, confidence to know that they're not in this life alone. All right, now listen, I have my own needs, right? I have my own weaknesses, right? How can I meet the needs of others when I'm still struggling myself? I have to go through a God that can supply all needs, not just mine, but all needs. And so he supplies all my needs and then through me supplies the needs to others. Does that make sense? All right, that's why God said, hey, if you've received Christ, go into all the world. Why? You've been given salvation. Your need has been met. Now go supply it to those whose needs have never been met. So God becomes my supplier. All right, look at this. I also need God to teach me the places that I need to go and how to get there. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Psalm 23. Anybody else love that chapter? All right, let's read the first three verses. In Psalms 23, it says this. So say them with me. You know them. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. In other words, there are places in my life that I will never get to unless I follow God's direction to get there. I mean, how many of you found that true in your marriage? There's places of happiness in your marriage that you cannot get to unless you follow God to get there. How many of you found that true to be in your careers? There's places of satisfaction that you'll never reach. I've known people that have been set up in jobs that were making great money, that their hearts were never fulfilled, gave up that job, went home, and became a stay-at-home mom, and now have joy. You say, why? Because the money is not where the joy is. It's being in the green pastures that God has planted. That's where your joy is. All right, does that make sense? And I need God to get me there. Matter of fact, let's put it this way. Grace Community Church is heading in some great, powerful, life-changing, world-changing, community-changing directions. And I'm going to say this, it is way bigger than I can comprehend or anybody that I know. And we need God to show us how to get there. And if we sit here and we say, well, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it, it would overwhelm us to think about the things, the visions that God has given me and given others for what he's going to do in our ministry. And if you sit here and you try to figure it out, you will shut down because it just doesn't seem possible. And that's why, hey, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need. I have all that I need. If the God that created the world is the one that's leading me, then I'm good. I'm good. You know, I sat down with Beth and Pete Higgs one time. Beth works with Jordan, and they had a work function. And my wife is this little social butterfly when she gets into certain situations. We went up to Renovatus, she takes off and she just starts doing her thing. We go to a work function, you know, she has employees, she has stuff, she just takes off. So, you know, it was an all-you-can-eat buffet. So she asked if I was going to be okay. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. I know how to entertain myself at one of those, right? So I'm good. So I get my food and I sit down and there's Beth and Pete. You know, and I was talking to him about some things that God, this has been about a year ago, that God had laid on my heart for decisions that he's wanting my family to make. And I said, you know, the more and more I go and more I'm in other countries and the more and more I come back here, I realize that we have way too much. We have way too much. I was telling our leadership class Sunday, what we consider a problem here is literally a blessing there. When my car breaks down, that would be a huge blessing to the person that's never had a car. And I'm sitting here losing my day over it, and there's somebody out there that's walked every single place they've ever been in their life. You know, my AC goes out my home, I start complaining, there'd be somebody that wished they had the AC to complain about. You know, and I realized that, man, we have really first world problems that aren't really problems. I mean, would you agree? There's real things in life that matter. I can guarantee you this. If your truck broke down today on the same day that your wife was hospitalized and you were told that she had a very slim chance of living, which would be a problem? All right? The truck would not be a problem, would it? Matter of fact, it would probably even be months before you ever even attained fixing that thing. Why? Because she is life, and that is dead. It doesn't do anything for me. It just drives back and forth. And if you don't have a car, you can get an Uber. I mean, in all honesty, we are so plagued. And I said, you know, I'm learning that my happiness is found with my wife being happy, my son being happy, and us serving God together. And Beth Higgs made a statement to me that's always stuck with me. She said, listen to me. I would live in a tent as long as when I walked in it, that man was in it too. Man, that's always been, you know, and it wasn't one of these statements that she was just making to be cool. She meant it. You know, and I was looking at Pete because, you know, guys, we don't get, you know, we don't hear that a lot, you know. I mean, I have a wife that affirms me, all right. But Pete was just over there. And girls, let me give you a little secret. It doesn't take much to make a man feel like a man. Am I right, guys? I mean, all you got to do is say, wow, you, my wife said it to me last night, you look like you've lost weight. You know, I'm so, I have, you know, something like that. All of a sudden, you know what I hear? Ladies, listen to me. Let me just drop a little freebie. What I hear is she thinks I'm attractive. She's noticing me. I mean, I told you a while ago, 36-year-old men are not much different than 8-year-old boys. They love the woman who fills their muscles. All right? And when mommy sees the muscles, they love mommy. But when mommy starts seeing the mess in the room more than the muscles, they love the girl that's sitting there saying, you should be the starter on the quarter. You should be the quarterback, not the guy playing. Oh, baby, let's date. Right? Then we marry that girl, and when that girl starts seeing the mess, we're in trouble because we're always looking for the person that sees the muscle. So in there, all of a sudden, here's what happened. You know, she starts saying those kind of statements, and it starts making me feel alive. It starts making me come alive. It starts making me want to step out and want to do and want to go and want to perform, not for anybody else, but for her. And what I realize is that my joy is literally found in my relationships. It's found in that moment, that intimacy. That an intimacy is not the sexual act. It's the connection, the bond that is there formed between me and that woman, that bond that's there. I went to the dentist today. My wife had gone to the dentist an hour before me. And the dentist looked at me and said, your wife was in scrubs. Where does she work? And I wanted to lie to him because what man needs to know where my wife works, right? I mean, I'm not giving you that. I got on the phone and I said, if this dentist shows up at your work when I'm gone, let him know he's dead when I get home. I mean, in all honesty, it's like, hey, listen, there's the value. The value's in her. The value of my life is found in that connection with her and with my God and with you. And when I see that, I realize that I may be standing in my green pastures. And God may be feeding me and nurturing me where I am as he prepares me for the journey of where he's about to take me. He's got Grace Community in an area right now where he has led us to, and a place of service, a place of worship, a place of influence, and a place of power. And we do not need to get comfortable because in just a few moments, the shepherd may come in and say, I'm going to lead you again. And we need the God that can supply and the God that can teach to be the God that's leading us to where we need to be. And at some point of our life, we've got to step back and say, you are my shepherd, and that is all I need. That is it. So teach me the things that I do not know. Oh God, lead me to the places that I can't get to without you. Supply the needs as we get there. I need my God to teach me things, to show me things, to give me things. Anybody else in here like that? Now, I would love to finish this. My watch is dead. I don't even know what time it is. You know, but I feel like we're at a stopping point. Maybe we come back to this in 3 weeks when I get back on Wednesday nights. Now, I'll be here Sunday, but I'll miss the next two Wednesday nights. We got some great men of God lined up. I think Bill's going to be teaching. Josh Kate's going to be teaching. Please be here and support. If anything else, come hungry, knowing that there are men of God that God has laid great word on their heart to share with you. And while you're here, join in prayer for what God's doing in our missions team on the other side of the world, literally the other side of the world. Grace Community Church may be meeting in this building while still ministering in other places. Isn't that a cool thought? To know that you can be a part of a trip that you never even went on. Be a part of a ministry just by being where God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do. But we need to raise a generation that trusts him and says, God, these are the things that I need. Teach me, lead me, supply. Teach me, lead me, supply. So today I will not be impressed with my own knowledge. I will stand in fear of you and I will flee from evil. Why? Because I need that strength and health for my bones. Anybody else like that? You know what that strength is? Let's pop that verse back up in closing. Verse number 8 of Proverbs 3. You know what this verse screams? Confidence. Security. You know, the most effective people in the world are the people that are confident in what they're doing. Confident in why they're doing it. And confident in who they are as they do it. And the Bible says that if I'm fearing God, I'm not leaning on my own wisdom. I'm not trusting my own knowledge. I'm leaning on Him, and I'm letting Him direct my path. I'm letting Him do those things. What happens? You will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. You know what that's talking about? Being strong. You say, how do I become a strong Christian? Verse 5, 6, and 7 tells you how to get there. Verse 8 tells you the result of listening to it. Do you understand? Are you with me? Yeah, bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody look around. When we come back, I'm going to hit on the ends of how do I know if I'm actually trusting God? What does that look like? You know, how do I know that I've actually given Him my focus, my attention? Because we need to examine ourselves. The Bible teaches us that. In the New Testament, examine yourselves. And it's good for us at times to stop and to look in and say, am I who God wants me to be? Am I the best version of me? Am I His version of me? And I wonder how many of you are here tonight and maybe you're leaning more on your wisdom than you are leaning on the God of all wisdom. Is there anybody here saying, you know what, I find myself doing that? Here's how you know if you're doing that. You got a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness. Matter of fact, I was telling him in our How to Study God's Word, no roots equal no fruits. Where your roots are determines where your fruits are. And if your roots are not rooted in God, the Bible says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, you know, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, all these meekness. You know, the fruits of Satan are worry, fear, anxiety, hatred, bitterness. Where are your fruits? What is most present in your mind and in your life? And if it's not the things of God, then maybe tonight you need to ask God one simple question. Teach me how to trust you more. And I'm going to tell you this, you can ask Him that all day long, but if you're not getting in His Word, you're not praying, you're not walking in a relationship with Him, you're not going to get the answer. Seek Him. And is there anybody here tonight that says, you know what? I want to trust Him more. I want to know Him more. And tonight, God, here's my hand, here's my heart. God, teach me. I'm hungry for You. I want You to supply. I want You to teach. I want You to lead. So God, I surrender my focus. I surrender my control. Would you slip your hand up? Anybody like that tonight? I promise through God's word, make this declaration, make this promise, that if you're sincere, if you're asking, you're seeking, you're knocking, He's answering, He's showing you, and He's opening doors for you. And so if you want to see your life take off, you want that strength, then fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Stand with me and grab somebody's hand. Now tonight, in closing, I'm going to do something I normally don't do. I'm going to give you a prayer request that's for me personally. Not my family, not my son, me personally. Tomorrow morning at about 7 a.m., my wife leaves for Nathan's graduation. I can't go because of the trip and things coming up. I need to be here Sunday. So I literally am not going to see my wife for like 2 solid weeks, right? And that may not seem like much to you, but that's big for me. When I get back, I'll see her for 3 days before I have to leave again. And then I'll get back, see her 3 more days, and then I have to take our youth and leave again. Literally under 10 days from this point till the end of the month will I see her. And now listen, here's what my prayer request is. You know, that is the moments that Satan tries to work. All right? So would you pray for me that number one, I stay focused, Not because I'm going to go cheat, but man, I run a lot of things through my wife. I mean, she is a really good filter for me. I mean, I feel like sometimes when I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit, he just taps her on the shoulder and says, will you talk? Because he's not listening to me, all right? And I just, would you pray that spiritually, that I grow in this season? And that's just a personal request. So I hope that's okay and not awkward for you. But I love that woman. And as a result of that, by the way, I'm going to say this. I'm leaving after this tonight. Because if I'm not seeing her for 2 weeks, I'm going to go see her tonight, all right? So in there, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but I got to grab Josh and walk through one little thing, and then I'm out of here, okay? So, but I love you. I'll see you on Sunday. How many of you are going to spend Sunday with your mother? Yeah, all right, we won't see you. All right, awesome. Good deal. They're all around us. I know some are traveling, going on vacation. All right, we will miss you. Listen, if your mom's alive and you can be with her on Sunday, go be with her. All right? If she has a church she wants to go to and it's not this one, go with her to church. All right? That's your mama. All right? And so, guys, listen, if you're married to a woman that has raised your children, go do something for her this weekend. All right? You know, make her feel special. I mean, even if that's just you taking the laundry for the rest of the week, and God help us that you don't shrink it. But this, you know, just step out and try to make a difference in her life. Let them know they're appreciated, right? And then for those of you that are here, we'll see you Sunday morning. Just keep in mind, there's no small groups, no classes, no evening service Sunday. We want you to spend time with family. Just the two morning services, okay? All right. So, matter of fact, other than one little class that we're shoring up, we are now on summer break from our small groups, okay? So on Sundays and Wednesdays, not the rest of them. They're still meeting on Thursdays and Tuesdays and Mondays and when, you know, they're there every other day. All right, but on Sundays and Wednesdays, there will be a break. So this is the last Wednesday night for the summer that we'll be supplying dinner. So please, don't bank on us to feed you, all right? If you show up, if you get here and you forgot, let me know. We'll send somebody after a cheeseburger. But we want you to know that, right? So keep that in mind, and then be praying, because in August, we're going to launch a whole new series of classes. We're excited to see how God grows you, all right? Let's pray. Let's get out of here. God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And God, I pray that through tonight, that there's been some truth that's made it into the minds and the hearts of people. Many people raise their hand desiring, saying, God, I want to trust you more. God, here's the cool thing. You have met their need. Tonight, as they slipped that hand in the air and showed that willingness, the answer was already provided. Your word was already made available. Your presence was made known. So God, help them to realize that as they leave here, they don't have to go seek these things, that these things have been made available through you already. They need to embrace and accept and grow through those things. So God, we thank you that you did not hide from us, but that you revealed yourself to us. And I pray that we will grow a church that's full of people that is hungry, seeking you. And God, may we feed on you as we grow this week. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you.